Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the greatest gift you have given us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't be here today. We will be still enjoying our sins and we will be on our way to hell. But thank God, you had mercy, you had kindness, you had love for sending Jesus, the only Savior, the only true Lord from heaven to earth, as he came down and picked us up and showed us the way and blessed us with many spiritual things and showed us the way to heaven. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us that greatest gift and for the blood that shed. It's not just human blood. It's the royal blood. It's the kingly blood. It's God's own blood that shed for unworthy sinners like us. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Christ cleanses all sins. We ask, Lord, that you will bless our souls today, Lord, that we would be able to treasure these things, what we are going to hear, and that we would hide it in our hearts so we won't sin against you, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to hear and grace for obedience, Lord. That we would walk in your ways, Lord. And please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We will continue in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. To 16, just a small portion of scripture. And if I give a topic today, the topic that I would give is experiencing the power of God. Let's take the context that is most important and let's expose this part of the scriptures. What the scriptures say, then how it's going to apply to us today. The context. We saw from the very beginning the growth of the church. And we saw in Acts chapter 4 that there was a growth of the church and there was a need for the church. And the need was, there were, church was, more and more people were added to the church. So there was a need and some of them sold their properties and brought the money to the apostles. And we see that one man is focused more than the others. That was Barnabas. Barnabas sold a property and brought to the apostles. Then we saw in Acts chapter 5, there was a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They copied the same thing what Barnabas did. They wanted to be like Barnabas too. The meaning of Barnabas in his encouragement. He was a great encourager to the church as he sold a property and brought the money to the apostles so they can help the needs in the church. So Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing. But the Holy Spirit saw the evil, the wrong motive in their hearts as they lied to the Holy Spirit because they did not tell the truth how much they sold the property. They lied, saying they sold the property for a different price. And we saw how God killed them. They dropped dead. Then we saw the whole church, fear came to the whole church. And that's where we stopped last time. There was fear, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, here we see fear. This is a good fear. The fear that came was the fear of God's power. God has the power to kill, and also God has the power to heal. We are going to see on the other side the healing power of God. God his fear came upon the church, because this fear shows of God's personality. Now let me tell you something. The God of the Bible, the living God, he is a holy God. And he doesn't like evil or playing games with God, showing one thing to people, then another thing to God. Double standard living. Here, Ananias and Sapphira, they tricked Apostle Peter. They tricked the church. But God saw it. If you turn with me to Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4:13. This is a scripture that we need to always keep it in mind in our lives, that we need to understand that God sees everything. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So everything what happens, everything what happened in Ananias and Sapphira, God saw it. It was totally naked to God. God sees the heart. God sees our motives. God sees exactly what we are thinking. Nothing can be hidden from God, because God is God. You understand? This is the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of all the other religions. Because all the other religions, their God is not holy. Their God is made of idols, statues, and images. They have mouths. They cannot talk. They have noses. They cannot smell. They don't have breath in them. But the God of the Bible is a living God. He is alive today. And he can see everything, what you are thinking and what our motives are. And the other gods, other religions, their gods are not holy. So you can do whatever you want to. And you can have your own religion and own God according to your perspective. That means according to what you believe, you can have a God. So that God will compromise with sin. But our God will never ever compromise sins, because there is only one God, the true living God. And here, God saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, what happened, what they did, and God doesn't want any games in the church. This is the beginning of the New Testament church, and this God wants the New Testament church, the beginning of the New Testament church, to build on his holiness. God wants is to be a virgin, a pure, a holy church without any compromise. Alright? So that's, we need to understand that. And that's very important. Even we see that God did signs and wonders through the apostles. And we saw that in verse 12. God says many signs and wonders. Verse 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And whenever, even in the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament, when the children of Israel sinned, God brought judgments. And that is, you see, throughout the Old Testament, God even used other kings from other nations to come and come against Israel when Israel sin against God, and when they were disobedient to God. God brought judgments. But at the same time, we see when the children of Israel, when they were obedient, when they were truly following God, God blessed them, and God even showed signs and wonders. What happened in the early church, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, was a judgment of God to the early church. Now, Who was, whom did they lie? Here, we know they lied to the Holy Spirit, but in real in person, they lied to Peter, right? Now, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, because Peter remembered these things, all right? 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end, those who do not obey the gospel of God? So here we see Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to Peter, they really lied to the Holy Spirit, and God brought judgment, and the judgment began in the house of God. It's always good when God shows impurity and discipline in the church of God, because when that judgment happens, there's going to be fear and church is going to be purified. Okay? It's so important that the church needs to be purified. Now, the Holy Spirit, when they did that, when the judgment came, what happened was there's a cleansing in the church. Right? Cleansing means people are going to get scared. They don't want to sin anymore. They saw the awesome power of God and they are very careful. They want to be holy and they want to walk what God has called them to do. They don't want to play games with God. So there's a cleansing. So if there is any impurities in the church, God cleansed it. God took it away. God took Ananias and Sapphira away. So there was a cleansing. There was a sanctification. And cleansing is very important. Then we see verse 12 to 16. We saw there was after that God did a lot of miracles. Signs and wonders was done. And here we see the church was encouraged. The church was not going to live in like a fear of God in a sense, oh, I'm so scared of God. Not that kind of fear. God wants to encourage them. After this fear, God wants to show them a fear of respect to Him, not a fear of, I'm so scared to be with God like that. No, you are the child of God. And God He is your Father. And He wants you to love Him. And there should be some kind of a communication, relationship. So there is a relationship between the father and the child, just like in the house. And God wants you to have that love relationship. Not a father that have a big stick with him, you know, always looking for faults. And whenever you dissing, you get a whip. And you are even scared to talk with him. That's not the God of the Bible we have. God of the Bible is a loving God, compassionate God, a kind God. A God full of mercies. So at the same time, we need to have respect to God. Honor Him who He is. That's the kind of fear we need to have. So here we see God doing a lot of healings and signs and wonders, which is very important. And even we saw that Peter, when he was passing by, that even his shadow fell on some people, they got healed. I mean, these are great signs and wonders that happen in the New Testament church. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, that greater works are going to be done by the disciples than him. And here we see the fulfillment of that. And one of the things that I want to show now is that what's happening in the church today, this is very, very important. We see in the churches today that Holy Ghost revival, and if you want to experience the power of God, come and experience the power of God with us. So, in the light of the scriptures, I want to show you what is happening in the church today and what ought to be happening in the church today. And you may have heard, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and experience the power of God, come to the front and pray this prayer, and you will get awesome power of God. You can experience the power of God. So they pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't agree any of those things. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to the believer, when somebody becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And we saw that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is literally filling of the Holy Spirit. It can happen many times. We saw the apostles were filled in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And they were filled in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. And you will see again. So Holy Spirit doesn't leak from your body. Okay? You're getting filled on and off. So baptism of the Holy Spirit is literally you don't have to go to a person and that person prays for the Holy Spirit to be baptized. No. The Holy Spirit that is in you, you know, you can pray wherever you are and ask for the Lord to fill you in the Holy Spirit. Now, as I see, there are a lot of churches today, they advertise, they tell people, you know, our churches, we have a lot of power in this church. You can experience the power of God, you know, and there are signs and wonders in this church. And, you know, the signs and wonders, what you see is there's a lot of. Now, one thing we need to understand, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, your life is going to be changed. That's important. But a lot of people, they want the Holy Spirit and they want to see God's power, not in a spiritual sense, but in the flesh. What I mean is this. They want the power of God, so they will get this power of God through the Holy Spirit so they can use this power of God to their flesh for their appetites of the fleshly things. All right? For instance, that you can... Now, let me give you an example. You turn with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 18 to 20. There was a man who was looking for the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is not for the spiritual things, but for the fleshly things. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Starting from verse 18, this is where I want to focus. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now that is a fleshly thing, right? He wanted this power. Saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion of this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. And Peter told him to repent. I think that is what is happening in many churches today. It's an outward show, not an inward change that is happening in a lot of churches today. It's an Holy Spirit revival, Holy Ghost revival, experience the power of God. They go to these churches and they will experience a feeling. They have a marvelous feeling. And after this feeling, they go home. When they go home, they don't live the life of holiness. They live another life, a worldly life. So they basically, if you really experience the power of God, you will live a life of holiness. And you will live a life of holiness. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 14. How people came for the wrong motives to Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 14. Remember, Jesus did a miracle. Verse 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, go to verse 26, 25. When they found him, now they were seeking Jesus. Verse 24, it says they were seeking Jesus. Now, they were seeking Jesus because Jesus did a miracle, right? Not that they wanted to seek Jesus for spiritual things. They were seeking Jesus for fleshly things. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves that you filled. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures eternal life, everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So these people were seeking Jesus for fleshly reasons. I think today a lot of people in the church, they are seeking Jesus and they want this power for fleshly reasons, not for spiritual reasons. If we are seeking Jesus, if you are going to experience the power of God, it has to be for spiritual reasons, that we would be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would live a holy life. But these were not. Also, if you turn with me to, actually, go to verse 33. John chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. You see that? They are looking for what? Fleshly things. We want this bread. That's why they were seeking Jesus. And Jesus was saying, hey, the bread of life, it's him. It's a spiritual food he's talking. How many people they go to church because there's a lot of entertainment, fleshly things. They experience kind of a power, a feeling type power when they go home. That power is gone. God's power is not like that. If he gives power, he's going to give you the power not only for one moment, but for all the time. Remember Jesus said, in the word of God says, be holy as I am holy. When he says be holy, it doesn't mean past tense, but be holy means what? Present tense. Always be holy. It's not future tense. When you go to church, you be holy. And when you go home, you're not holy anymore. No, be holy. It's a present tense. It's a continuous. So that's very important to understand. Then what about the signs and wonders that is happening today in the churches? You may have a question on that one. You know, you see some evangelists come, or the pastor preachers, and some people miraculously get healed, and there are signs and wonders what is happening. That means that God is in that church. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. What Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So we see there are false teachers, there are false prophets who will come and do great signs and wonders. So many Christians will think it's from God and they will be deceived. Now the deception is they are going to use the Bible. They are going to use the Bible. Just like Satan used the Bible against Jesus. And they will use the name of Jesus, because we know there's another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. So what I say is, if there is going to be signs and wonders, and if those people are going to be healed, and there is a true conversion of that person, and that person's life is going to be truly changed, and that person is going to have a total behavior towards God, then it's from God. Also, the teacher or the pastor or the evangelist, we need to check their private life to see if they are truly from God or not. What do you mean checking their private life? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Actually, starting from verse 14. Matthew 7:14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who finds it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or fig from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So Jesus is saying, verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, have done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So basically what Jesus is saying is this. Basically, we need to check those people who does the healings, because these healings can be satanic. Because Satan can also heal and can do miracles and wonders, as we saw in the book of Exodus, when Moses did signs and wonders, who else were able to do? The magicians, the Pharaoh's magicians were able to copy them too, right? So Satan has power to do that too. So we need to understand that we need to check these ministers, these pastors, their private lifestyle. Private lifestyle, we only weigh by their fruits. That means their behavior, especially in the church. Anybody can be an angel in the church. I'll tell you that. All right? But we need to check how they live in their home. Many of these ministers and these pastors, they have mansions they live. They live in a vain glory on earthly kingdoms. That shows to me they are not from God. And if you are a godly man, you will not live in a big mansion with earthly, hungry for earthly wealth, greediness. All right? And the other thing is, you will see that they deceive people with money. They always talk about money. In their sermons, the money is a center. All right? We don't do that here in this church. Our sermons, Jesus is a center. And the other thing is, you will see from their fruits, some of them have jet, private airlines, you know, private airplanes. And they go to different countries. They live in hotels that is so many thousands and thousands of dollars. They had to pay just for one night. And that's happening even in third world countries like in the Philippines. Most of the pastors over there, they are copying these things. Because a lot of motives of the pastor, let me tell you, is the money, the love of money is the root of all evil. That is very true. A lot of people today, they want larger congregations. Pastors want more people. You know why they want more people? The more people you have, the more money the pastor will get. So the more people you have, the more money you have. So It's okay to have more people, but we don't have worldly people with sinfulness. If there are more people, we need to preach repentance and have the church cleansed. So money is the root of all evil. That's why there's so much greediness, even among the pastors and the ministers. I heard a story, it's true, from Pastor Huiso last time when I visited him. There is a church somewhere in Bohol. And they really need a pastor there. And a lot of pastors go there, they don't stay long there. The reason is, it's a very poor area. So they stay for a while and they get bored and they come back. And a lot of pastors, they go there, they stay only for a short while because the people are very poor, they cannot give tithing. So the pastors don't stay long. So because no tithing, they go away. See, the motive is not right. You don't become a pastor so you get more money. You understand? You become a pastor because Jesus is the one who appoint a pastor to teach, give spiritual food to the people so they will grow in their sanctification. God will take care of you. You have to have faith. But today, nobody will become a pastor unless they get a salary. They are looking for salaries. If God took care of Elisha when Elisha didn't have food, what did God do? Elisha was in a cave. God brought food from ravens to Elisha, from bread and meat. God takes care. I experienced miracles like that when I was in the Philippines. I remember, I'll never forget this one. There was a time when we were in the apartment. This is a time when I was a missionary. I'm going witnessing different people. You know, I went through a mission agency and I had some brothers and sisters who said that we are going to support you. And when I came here, nobody supported me. And I called the mission agency. I said, we don't have money to pay rent. And they said, we didn't get any money to pay you. And one day, we didn't have food. Pastor Huiso came all the way from Toledo. He did not know that we didn't have food. And he brought some eggs and bread and bananas. That is living by faith. God provided us just enough for us to get by. But now we have a church there. But today, if people want to be pastors, hey, they want a big salary. They are looking for big things. That is what is happening in the church today. That's my point. And that's why we need to be very, very careful. And, you know, that God, his goal is to make the church holy. Then when Jesus comes, he will come to a holy, pure, virgin church. That's the most important. I would rather have 15 people who are holy and who love the Lord than 500 people who are worldly. So what about today? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I believe God does, you know, healings today. This is where some, you know, we got to be very careful. We cannot go extremes on this one, okay? There are some, they don't really believe that God can do miracles, signs and wonders today. I question about that. I don't believe that. I believe God is the same God yesterday, today and forever. I believe God can do miracles. I believe God can do healings even today. Because a lot of times God may not do miracles and healings in a church that there is a lot of unbelief. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Verse 39, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus said that some people look for signs and wonders. He will not show, because those people living in the churches or people in that generation, they are evil. So, but God can show signs and wonders and healings according to His sovereign will. Especially, I hear a lot of stories about missionaries who have gone to very remote areas where there are cannibals and extremely jungles, where God does miracles and healings to show that there is a living God. So God can do according to His sovereign will. I know we have healings. Many of you have experienced God's healings, miraculous healings. God does heal today. But it is also not man's power, but God's power. So the main thing what we learn from this portion of the scripture is experiencing the power of God, signs and wonders that is in the church, is basically, most importantly, we need to be holy. We saw there was a judgment that came upon the church, and with that judgment, there was sanctification and holiness, and God used this church with signs and wonders after that. So, basically, if you want to experience the power of God, first, we need to repent of our sins. We need to ask the Lord to cleanse us, because God cannot use an unclean vessel for His glory. The vessel has to be clean first. So inside in us, we need to get rid of our pet sins, darling sins, and we need to dump everything on the cross, and Jesus will have taken care of those, and Jesus will cleanse you, wash you, and refresh you, and you need to be in the sight of God. God sees everything. We saw in the book of Hebrews, everything is naked before God. So we need to live a life of holiness wherever we go. Then you can pray and ask the Lord, God, fill me with your spirit. I want to be a Christian with boldness that I can experience the power of God. God will answer their prayer. Jesus said, if you ask for bread, He is not going to give a scorpion. He will answer. Spiritual things, God will answer. But we need to be holy before God. So if you're coming to church and you're getting blessed and say, oh, that's really great, I want to be holy, I want to follow the Lord, then when you go home, you live a double standard life, then you are just like other people in the other churches. They need the experience of the power of God only for the flesh. So we cannot live a double standard life. That's very important. Because our whole goal, what is our really a goal? That we will be conformed to the image of Christ, right? We will be like Him. That is our goal. So what we need to do is, there are three things we need to do. One is, we need to be sanctified by the power of God. That means sanctification is when we get the word of God, take it seriously into your heart, so when the word of God will cleanse you. And it will say, oh, this is great, it cleanses my soul. And that it will cleanse you. So sanctification, then you'll be holy, then you'll be a man and a woman of prayer before God. Then be obedient to God's word. As Jesus said, the man who builds a house on the rock, and he who hears me and does them, that is the will of God. Obedience is the will of God. Then, the last thing, number three, we need to do what God tells us to do. Take a step forward. We need to be We need to do it in action. Going and witnessing to other people, telling about Jesus. You know, we need to be active as a Christian. Not Christian in the home or in the church, but outside also. Then you will experience the power of God. Let's pray.